Last week, we were in the same chapter, Ephesians 4, and actually looked at the first scripture reading that you heard this morning, verses 11 through 13. It spoke of God's great gift of grace to us, and that grace is that through Christ, we have been saved, we have been raised up with Him in resurrection, we've been seated with Him at the right hand of God the Father. There's this whole list of blessings that come through Christ that are for all of us. We also talked and we installed our elders and deacons from that passage. God has given gifts of leadership to His church, to some, but the purpose of that is then for all to engage in works of service and of worship, of ministry. So that was our focus last week. This week we're starting in verse 14, but it begins with as a result. So that's looking back. That's why I've mentioned last week. It's looking back to what we talked about last week. Because as a result of these gifts that God has given us, grace, salvation, leadership in the church, calling us to works of service, as a result of that, what we're going to talk about today. And in a word, the message to all of us today is grow up in Christ. Now that grow up does not sound to my ears like a particularly nice thing to say to somebody, right? You say it to somebody when they're acting kind of immature, doing something wrong, you say, "Ah, grow up." Well, if you can get past that, I'm going to invite you to, with me, get past that. This is Scripture challenging us, calling us, inviting us to a greater maturity of faith. It's not meant to shame us or put us down, but to invite us and give us tools that we may continue to mature in our faith. And he's going to use a couple of analogies to help us understand those dynamics. So we're going to start with the first one of those, which is that we are no longer to be children. And right off the bat, you may think, but wait, aren't children a good thing? Yes, they're a good thing. Aren't we supposed to have childlike faith? Yes, we're supposed to have childlike faith. What he's doing here is not talking about children and grown-ups biologically. He's using an example, an analogy, that God made the human body, God made us to grow from infancy to toddler to child to teenager to adult. He created our bodies to mature and grow, and there's a whole system that makes that work within us. And he's saying the church and individual Christians are like that. We're not meant to stay baby Christians or even young, immature Christians, but God's design for us, like the human body, is for us to grow up spiritually. And that's going to be the focus this morning. Right in the midst of that, and that's where I was kind of excited to find this particular picture, he mixes that metaphor of childhood with one of being on a boat, being tossed back and forth by the waves. And I happened to find a picture of a kid in the boat, fortunately not in a storm. But he says, as a result, we're no longer to be immature in faith or tossed here and there by waves. So he's going to give us the alternative. But what kind of waves is he talking about? What kind of storms? We talked about this in youth Sunday school this morning. So he says, don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine or by the trickery or scheming of other people. That's what tosses us around spiritually, right? So these two images right up front. So we can't stay in spiritual immaturity, and we need to guard against kind of listening to everything that captures our attention here and there that might lead us away from the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God. So Paul lists a couple of specific examples from that church in Ephesus. He mentions false teaching, scheming, craftiness. Those things have always existed and always will, but I wanted to offer one that's a little more specific to us that I think has the same result on us, and that is this whole computer technology, social media thing that is really new in the last generation, and it's just accelerating more and more. It has a good side, right? I guess it's good. My dad who was a little bit late to the game of internet and smartphones and all that, has been delighted to find out that if he watches his favorite music group on YouTube, the Gaither Vocal Band, that magically, it's not magic, but it seems magic, if he watches it on his computer, suddenly more and more Gaither Vocal Band shows up on his phone. And on his Roku, on his TV, which is how he and my mom watch the service sometimes. Right? It's all connected, and it's paying attention. And in that case of feeding him his favorite group and the music he wants to hear, it's been delightful. But that same algorithm, that same bit of technology and programming that is able to do that also feeds us our preferences in every area, including the sources that we would go to find out the news, the truth, what's going on, right? And so we like what we hear from one place, and the computer figures that out and feeds us more and more and more, whether it's actually true or not. It doesn't have an algorithm to figure that out. And here's the thing about truth. Truth, real truth, often isn't what we want to hear, right? It rubs us the wrong way. It stretches us. It grows us. It challenges us, right? Sometimes it's the last thing we want to hear. So if we had the ability to change the channel or just turn the volume down, we would. And that's just what our computers do for us. They are able to pick up, oh, he skipped over this story. Must not have wanted to hear that. So next time, it doesn't even show it to us. And that just compounds and compounds until what I'm seeing, what you're seeing on your screens, your televisions, your phones, so many places is just what you want to hear. And that sounds a lot like the scriptural, their ears are tickled by just what they want to hear, right? So one of the things that Paul is warning us against that keeps us from maturing is being tossed to and fro by what is not the truth, by the kinds of things that, and again, this is right, the immature response of just give me what I want. On a practical level, if you've been parents or grandparents, or if you've been a kid, and I think that covers most of us, there are very few young children, with one exception I'm aware of in this room, who like really, really want to eat their vegetables. And again, I know who you are in this room. I know you love broccoli and vegetables. That's okay. You're special. Most of us as kids, if given the choice, we'll go for the ice cream and the dessert or the, you know, whatever the tasty thing is. It takes people who love us, right, who are willing to say to us, you have to eat this first before you eat that. Right, that's getting to what we're going to next, speaking the truth in love, right, in verse 15. That's the role of the grown-ups in our life. That's also the role of spiritual maturity, is to speak what is true, not to beat us up with it, not to shame us, not to make everyone else in the room laugh at us, but in love to build us up and to grow us up also into maturity. So verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up for the building up of the body of Christ. I remember thinking when the kids were very little that that was just the hardest battle in the world, right? You have to eat the fish and the rice on your plate, and then you can have the brownie or the cookie. And there were protests and hunger strikes and tears and all the rest. And it only gets harder from there, right? Because then you get to the teenage years and it's new boundaries, like you need to be in by this time, or you can do this or can't do that. And the whole purpose of all of that, at least most of the time, is love. We want you to be safe. We want you to be healthy. We want you to thrive. We're not just trying to ruin your life, even though it feels like that when you're on the receiving end. Same thing spiritually, same thing in life. The truth is good for us. It is spiritually and emotionally and intellectually, it is the vegetables, the fish, the healthy food that helps our minds and hearts and spirits to grow. And sometimes, particularly if we're still spiritually developing, it's not what we want. And we protest and we just want to go to the stuff that's easy to digest and kind of gives us the quick delight, the quick high, the thing that tastes good and smells good and doesn't challenge me to my core like the truth sometimes does. There should be, I'll qualify this, there should be no more supporting and safe place to hear and to wrestle with the truth than in the church. I mean, this is what God has designed the church for, the community of faith, is that we can be challenged by what is true. We can together wrestle and struggle and grow with it, right? I recognize it's not always so. It's not always so in our church, in any church. Just like human beings, sometimes church bodies, church groups are spiritually immature. And you can have developed in one area and still be immature in another. God's challenge to us is to keep building each other up towards spiritual maturity. God's design for us is a mature and healthy body. So I want to move to verse 16, and he gives some a little bit more practical advice about what this looks like. I'll get to that song in just a second. In verse 16, he basically says this, as goes the health of the parts of the body, and right, he's comparing the community of faith, the church, to a body. He says, Jesus is the head of the body, Christ is the head, and we are the body with all its constituent parts together. And we need each one of you. So he says, as goes the health of the various parts, so goes the health of the whole. And you know this, right? If your gallbladder is sick or unhealthy or has to be removed, it affects your whole well-being, your energy, your immune system, and all that. If you break your leg, right, it affects how well you can walk, or in this poor girl's case, dance, right? It affects you. Each of you, each of us, is like that. And if one of us is spiritually immature or detaches or pulls back, it's not just one man down, but it's like dancing with a broken leg, right? That's how interconnected the church is. So says Ephesians 4. We are all parts of one body. And your health and your health impacts all of our health. So this song, we sang this here, it's probably been 10 or 12 years ago. It's a gospel song, and it's taken from this exact passage. Now, let me just read it to you. It says, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. It's quoting this passage. You are important to me. I need you to survive. It's not saying we don't need God to survive. That's a given. But God has so designed us as the church that we need each other to survive and thrive. And then this later in the song, I pray for you. Will you pray for me? I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I mean, what a wonderful prayer for each other, the words to this song that lift up what's being taught here in Ephesians 4. So I want to ask, how are you doing and how are we doing at this? A couple of questions. Are you plugged in? And you are a part of this body. If you're here in the room, if you're not in the room, you're a part of this body. Are you connected? Are you plugged in? Are you functioning? Some of you maybe hands or feet or gallbladders or spleens or stomachs or ears or hair follicles. We all have roles, we all have parts of the body, and we all affect each other. It's easy to see, and for me too, I mean, this is my job, right? It's easy to see church as one commitment among a bunch of commitments, but that's not the language of Scripture. Scripture says the church, the body of faith, it is our identity. It's who we are. We are the church together, you and I. We're the church. It's who we are. And that frames everything so differently. So we need each other to survive. We need each other to grow up, to mature spiritually. We need each other to seek and speak the truth in love, to find our own ministry and mission and connection to this body as living tissue connects to the parts of your own body. A couple of ways to do that. How to plug in. The voice that I mentioned earlier is a great place to start to see what's going on. We try to describe and tell the stories of all of our ministries in there. If you don't know what's going on, and I understand if you don't, we've been on, you know, this unique, 17-month weird virtual hiatus. But everything is up and running, and we're doing it in careful ways with masks and distancing. But our ministries and mission are re-engaged, and I invite you to be a part of that. Or talk to me, or pray first. Say, God, who am I in your body? What would you have me do? How do I connect to my church? And then secondly, and I feel like this is really the heart of this passage, is how do we seek and speak the truth in love? If one of the characteristics of truth is that it challenges us. It often rubs us the wrong way because it, unless you're already perfect and know all things, truth is going to stretch and grow you and challenge you. So how do you seek that truth as well as how do you speak it in love? One way, I think, is to, and this is the beauty of the church, can be the beauty of the church, is to seek out different viewpoints than your own. That's one thing if you're watching a TV channel. It's another within the body of Christ. And we have a diverse set of viewpoints in here. Where else, other than in the church, can we come together because of our unity in Christ and say, how do you see this? What do you think's going on? What do you believe? And learn from each other. Our church, in my experience, almost 20 years now, has excelled at this. But I think our church, with every other church in the country, has been exceedingly challenged these last couple of years with a whole list of cultural challenges before us, with this whole technology thing just multiplying how hard it is. We've been affected by the polarization and the separating apart and the not talking or listening to folks that differ from us. And yet the church is exactly... We have exactly the tools and the gifts of God to come together and not be drawn apart. And that's part of maturity in Christ, of seeking and speaking the truth and love to each other. Right? The love part is that I meet with you, I share with you, not so that we can stake out our own territory, but that we can build each other up because we are part of the same body. I have had the physical experience of having a shoulder or back or something that's out of whack. And I don't like it. I wish I could trade it in for another one. And I realize sometimes you can do that and get a knee replacement and all that, but bear with me. The solution, at least to a point, is I can't get rid of my shoulder. It's the one I got. What I can do is work with it and build it up and strengthen it and do the right exercises and get the right care, because this is the body that God has given me, right? This is the body of Christ in this place. We've got each other. God willing, we'll continue to grow and be blessed by God. But to do that, we need to seek the health of the body. And that's what this passage calls us to. And again, right at the heart of that is seeking and speaking the truth in love. So my prayer for you this morning is that God grabs a hold of your imagination and your will, perhaps your pride, your heart and your mind and mine, and not let us go. I'm so thankful for you, and for this church, and for this body that God has given us. It is God's blessing to us in a world that is hard and difficult and challenging and confusing. And I'm thankful for you. Let's pray together. Lord, it's easy to think we have all the answers and all the truth. We may have some. But you teach us that your word is truth. Your Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that you would desire to sharpen us like iron. Your same word that is truth is like a two-edged sword that pierces through to bone and marrow, and yet it also heals us and makes us whole. Would you draw us to yourself, and in healing us and growing us up individually, would you bless us as your body in this place, that we might continue to grow and mature in faith and honor you in this world. I thank you for all that you've drawn together in this place. Would you strengthen us and bless us for the work you have before us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.